From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. On today's show, we've got a special Black blogger roundtable and a look back at the brutal race riots of 1967 in Newark. But first, it's time to talk politics. And boy, are things a-poppin' this week. Published reports suggest that Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez knew of FBI abuses of power. That flies in the face of what he told Congress. And Senator John McCain cleans house, hoping to save his bid for the White House. Plus, Rudolph Giuliani appoints a controversial figure to help chair his campaign. For more, we've got Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, and Robert L. Trainum, a GOP strategist. He teaches at George Washington University and runs his own political consulting firm. Glad to have you guys both back.
Thanks, Farai.
Hi, Farai.
So I'm going to start with you, Robert. New reports, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez told about numerous cases allegedly of the FBI abusing its Patriot Act powers. He was supposedly notified of the abuses 6 days before testifying in Congress, this according to many published reports. That's when he said that the Patriot Act hadn't been violated and should be renewed. So essentially, these reports are saying he's lying. Is this a scandal for the GOP and particularly the president, who's consistently supported Gonzalez?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a scandal for the GOP. If, in fact, this is true, I think it's another scandal, unfortunately, for the attorney general. Look, he was sworn under oath, and if, in fact, he lied or perjured himself, he should be penalized for that. But you know what? Everyone's expectations of this attorney general, unfortunately, are so low. So many members of Congress, both on the Republican side and the Democratic side, have called for his resignation. The ball really, Farai, as you know, is in the president's court. And the president has said steadfastly, time and time again, that the attorney general has his confidence. So I think this is really a question of whether or not the president is going to finally let this guy go, or if, in fact, he's going to let him stay on throughout his embattled presidency.
So, Mary, you have a situation where this president is not known for changing his mind, no matter how much criticism. Do you think this is the nail in Gonzalez's coffin in terms of his job?
Yeah, well, Bush's stubbornness, he's about the stubbornest president I can recall throughout the history of the presidency. Facts don't seem to make any difference to him. But in any case, he seems to like Gonzalez, or else Gonzalez knows where all the dirty laundry is. And unless the Republicans in the Congress, the Senate, went en masse to the president and said, look, this guy has got to go. He's an albatross around our necks. And they're not going to do that en masse. They just figure they've distanced themselves. I predict he will stay, even if it turns out one day that he's an axe murderer. And there's evidence of that. The president will find some reason to say it's not true, it's not an embarrassment, Justice Department's running just fine. So this is just the latest episode.
Mary, do you think this could change anything about the way that the Patriot Act is structured?
Not how it's implemented, as long as Gonzalez is around. The Democrats may do some tinkering with it to try to put in some further protections, but they're afraid to do something that might open up the possibility that if a terrorist attack occurred, people would say, look what you guys did. You tinkered with that. You messed with that. And you did that. So there's a tightrope there for them to walk.
Do you think, Robert, that there is going to be some kind of a pushback in terms of saying that the Democrats are doing a witch hunt from the Republican Party?
Well, I think you already see that happening now. I mean, Patrick Leahy, as well as Mr. Conyers on the House side, has already issued something like 300 subpoenas for information from the administration. In fact, this administration has complied with almost everything that the Democratically-controlled Congress has asked for within reason. What's also very interesting, Farai, is that the Congress actually has a lower approval rating than the president. So, you know, the American people are just frustrated. They're frustrated at the Congress. They're frustrated at the administration, and rightfully so. So the real question I think we need to ask ourselves is whether or not this government is doing exactly what the American people want when it comes
to...
Well,
Robert, let me follow up on that. The last figures I saw for the president's approval ratings are 29%. How low is Congress's?
21%. The same Gallup poll has Congress at 21%. And let's remind ourselves that this Congress ran on reform, or meaning this Democratic Congress ran on reform. They said they were going to, quote, clean house. They said they were going to hold the president accountable. And look, the American people are saying, frankly, you're not doing anything that we've asked you to do in the first 100 days.
Basically, Farah, what's happened is that the public is blaming the Democrats for the fact that the war in Iraq continues and they haven't been able to stop it. And lots of people still don't understand that unless you get 60 votes in the Senate, you can't. So even though the House Democrats have passed all the legislation they said they were going to pass, the Senate hasn't been able to get votes to pass some of it. The only thing they passed is a minimum wage. So part of it is the Iraq war, which is a brooding omnipresence in the sky, over and above other things. And part of it also on the subpoena issue, the Republicans have not presented everything that has been asked for. In fact, if you have a long memory, you know that previous administrations came up to the Hill and gave out information similar to what's being asked, that officials testified. In the Clinton administration, they were always forced to come up there and testify.
Well, Mary,
and they did.
Let me just get Robert in very briefly because I want to move on to some campaign news.
Sure.
You said that's not true. What are you referring to?
Well, if you take a look at what the Congress has campaigned on back in 2006, Farai, and what they actually have accomplished, it's actually very little. When it comes to Speaker Pelosi actually gallivanting around the country and saying that she needs a private plane, and also talking about how...
What has that got to do with it?
Well, it has everything to do with it when the American people see that and say, why is this person the Speaker of the House when she's not talking about issues that are important to me? That's my point in terms of the low approval rating for Congress right about now.
Well, we just have some figures here that polls also have 51% of Americans preferring Democrats keep control of Congress versus mid-30s for Republicans. So that's just one complicating factor. I guess Americans hate Congress in general, but
some people hate Republicans more.
Yeah. Let's move on
a cheap shot.
Let's move
the
on.
The plane was a cheap shot. Anyway.
All right, guys. Let's move on to, we have a lot of political news. We want to talk McCain and Giuliani. Yesterday, John McCain's campaign manager, chief strategist, deputy campaign manager, and political director all stepped down. So he's got bad fundraising numbers, bad poll numbers. Robert, is he on his way out?
I don't know. Look, Senator McCain has done exactly what he said he was going to do, which he said he's going to campaign on principle. And unfortunately, those two principled ideas, i.e. immigration and Iraq, has gotten him into a lot of trouble. That's number one. Number two, he's also had a staff on board that has been recently let go, as you mentioned, Farai, that have spent a lot of money. Unpopular ideas, unpopular positions, and spending a lot of money is a recipe for disaster here in Washington, D.C. when you're trying to run for president, coupled with an administration, as we mentioned before, that is unfortunately not voting well with the American people. So when you have a candidate that is running for president that is taking the same exact issues on Iraq and immigration that the current president is taking, and when this administration, frankly, is saying we're going to stay the course, we're going to do exactly what we said we were going to do, and when you have a campaign staff that is literally spending $15, $20, almost $30 million in less than a year, people are saying, I'm not sure this guy is my guy. I'm not sure I actually want to invest in this person if, in fact, he's not standing up for what I believe in, number one. But also, number two, I'm giving him money and they're spending it on frivolous things.
All right, Mary, one quick aspect of this. John Kerry was in the same boat about this time in 2003. So is there a chance that McCain can do a turnaround?
If McCain stays in, it is possible for him to do a turnaround in Iowa. Also, with all the bad news about Giuliani's campaign with the cokehead to a state chairman in Ravenel in South Carolina and with Senator Vitter and his cavorting, which is not a problem, but the hypocrisy surrounding it. It's no problem for guys to be serviced by prostitutes. My brother tells me that the guys in the barbershop high five whenever they hear about that. But in any case, that bad news, then I think that McCain, if he can stay in, find some way to stay in, it is still possible for him to turn it around.
Robert, before you go on, I want to explain a little bit more about what Mary was talking about. So according to the newsletter Diversity Incorporated, Rudy Giuliani is the only major presidential candidate whose campaign is run entirely by whites. And Arthur Ravenel Jr. is the person that Mary mentioned, former congressman who once referred to the NAACP as the National Association for Retarded People. That was at a flag rally in 2000. It was just one of the potentially tainted remarks he made about race. What does this say about Giuliani?
Well, I think it says that we have found, or they have found themselves in a very unfortunate situation where, frankly, there's been a lot of bad news coming out about their state chair and also perhaps about Senator Vitter. Look, the fact of the matter is that Americans don't like hypocrites. They don't like someone that's going to stand up on the soapbox and talk about morality and talk about X, Y, and Z, but behind closed doors you do A, B, and C. And I think that's the issue, frankly, where the Giuliani campaign is a little bit in the box, where they basically have said, we have Senator Vitter, this is a couple months ago, we have Senator Vitter on staff to help us with social conservatives in the South. That's going to help us solidify that base, and yet and still, allegedly, I have no idea whether he did this or not, but allegedly he may have done something outside of his marriage that was unfaithful. So the fact of the matter is that you have a hypocritical stance right now that the Giuliani campaign does not need.
Robert,
he apologized for something.
So yeah, he did apologize to his wife. You have to be very brief. We got to go. Mary?
Yes, he apologized. And the question of who these faces are, who are the state chairman in his party, maybe Giuliani believes so much in a colorblind society that he didn't notice that he didn't have even people of color. But I think that all of this augurs very badly for what's going to happen, the support for Giuliani. So I think McCain should stay in the race. I think he still has a shot. And I think that we should wait to see what the outcome is.
Well, both of you, Mary, Robert, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, and Robert L. Trainum is a GOP strategist. He teaches at George Washington University and runs his own political consulting firm, and they both joined us from our NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. Before we move on, I've got one more big political story for you. Tomorrow afternoon, I'll be interviewing Senator Barack Obama, and I'd like your help. If you have a question for the senator, please send it our way. Just visit our blog, nprnewsandviews.org. No spaces and no guarantees, but I might ask your question on air.